joyful noise, all the earth, make his praises glorious. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, for his name is victorious. By thy great power, thy force shall submit to thee.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Today is April the 17th, 2022. It's 9:03 in the morning, and I'm here doing Facebook Live, amen. I'm going to be teaching the Word of God, amen, and doing a little exhortation. I'm thankful for this day, amen. A lot going on today, a lot going on in my life and so on, and in the kingdom of God, amen. And I got a little exhortation I want to share here in a minute. Just wait another couple of minutes, and then we'll get started with some prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to talk a little bit here in a minute about something that happened yesterday, and it doesn't surprise me, man, where the world is and where the religious system is. And right now, today, you know, talking about Easter, right? And wait a minute before I get into all that. Praise God. I trust everyone is having a good day, man. I trust everyone is staying strong in the Lord, staying strong in the Word. Amen. Very important that we stay strong in the Word in this hour, amen, and that we continuously seek out the voice of God, amen. We do not want the voice of a stranger, amen. As Jesus said, the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Well, that has to do with staying in the order of God, amen. And we're going to to talk about God's order today. We're going to talk about the order of authority, the origin of authority, and how is it in heaven, how is it in earth. Amen. All right, 906. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for this precious opportunity. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters out there that are partaking today, Father, and that are seeking to hear your voice in their lives, Father. I thank you, Lord, according to your word, Father God, even as Apostle Paul wrote, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," amen, "of whom the whole world in heaven and earth is named." I thank you, Lord God, that I'm named after you, amen. I'm a mighty race, amen. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have been passed away. Behold, all things have become new, glory to God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you would grant us the riches of your glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, Father, that Christ may dwell in our hearts, Father God, by faith, and that us being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, amen, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, Father. I pray, Lord God, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, Father, that we may know what is the hope, amen, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, Father God. And I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you're faithful in this hour. You're faithful, Lord, and you honor your word, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Father, and I bless you, Lord, for this precious time. I bless you and I give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So, I went and got a haircut yesterday, and, you know, I'm just sitting there minding my own business, and this lady that's there with her son, you know, he's getting a haircut, and he's a young guy, and he's pretty preoccupied about his hair. And the lady says, and the mother of the son, the young man getting a haircut, she's discussing why it couldn't have been a turtle or a chicken or some other animal. Why did it have to be an Easter bunny, right? Well, if you know anything about the history of where Easter originated from, right, it was the god of Ashtaroth, all right? And there's a whole, you know, there's a whole demonic influence and where that all came from, right? And the days of Nimrod in the Bible and how they separated themselves and they wanted to seek God on their own, amen, and they created a whole nother world religion, if you will. And but these individuals were discussing why it couldn't have been another animal, right? And it reminded me of a scripture in 1 John 5:19. It says that, "And we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lieth in wickedness." You see, as the scripture says in the preceding verses to that, and that's in 1 John 5:19, and let me go to that here. It's very important that we understand right now in this hour where we're at and, you know, what is being presented to us, right? He says that, it says, we know that, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God, amen, sinneth not, but that he is begotten of God, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not, right? And then in verse 20, he says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, amen, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and the eternal Zoe. And then he says, little children, keep yourself from idolatry. Well, the whole world is gone after and is gone in wickedness, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. You know, this is what the world talks about, this question that this lady asked, why couldn't it have been another animal? And, of course, they missed the whole focus of what, you know, Passover truly was about. And but anyway, the whole world is lying in wickedness. Their philosophies and their views and how they interpret and understand, you know, their lives and their surroundings and the world events that are going on and so on and in the United States and throughout the world. You know, everything is bent on selfishness, right, in the world and in religion, the worldly religion of Babylon, Babylonian, which means confusion. And that's where the world is, right? The only hope is Jesus Christ, amen. You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God, right? I had another individual I was talking to at my workplace, and he asked me a question, what are you going to be doing for, you know, Good Friday? And I said, well, nothing. And then he said, aren't you Catholic? And, you know, I never talk about what I am or who I am outside of the Word of God, right? We're sons and daughters of God. We're Christ-like. We're Christian, right? And we seek the honor from that comes from our Father, right? Well, I share with them, I said, look, well, let's step outside so we don't offend anybody, so I don't offend anybody. And so I started sharing with them some things and a little bit about where this origin of Easter was. And even when I was sharing with them, I was a little off, and I had to go refresh myself about that whole understanding. But the point is that, you know, the word Catholic means all-inclusive. You know, we'll take everybody in. You do our thing, and you can do your thing also. You can do your Easter, your Christmas, your Halloween, your whatever tradition you're involved in that came from the world, right? Demonic realm. So, anyway, the point is that the whole world lies together in wickedness. But Scripture says here that God has given us an understanding in verse 20, 1 John 5:20. And that's what he's doing in our lives, right? We're getting understanding about the ways of God. We're understanding helps and governments, for example, right now in the series that we're in. And it's very important, amen, that we understand the order of God and what God has in his word, amen. And the thing about it is that, you know, there's a lot of good preachers out there, right? And there's a lot of good teachers, right? But are they coming from the right foundation, right? And that's the whole problem is that the things that many of the body of Christ are hearing and partaking, it's the wrong foundation, right? Jesus said, if you build your house on sand, what's going to happen? Well, it's going to wash away. See, there's nothing to maintain you there. But if you build your house on Christ, I mean, the rock, then your foundation is going to be sure. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, significance. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And that's always the issue, right? Is your life or God's life? Your life, you know, before the Father is going to be maintained in holiness, right? And righteousness, amen? You're right before the Father because of Jesus Christ. But in the world, in the carnal man, he makes his own choices, his own decisions outside of God, whether God is approved of it or not by his word. So he makes his own choices outside of God, right? It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We decide what is good and what is evil, not knowing that it's the same tree, whether it's good or evil. And it's going to produce the fruit of death, frustration, you see. So now, mankind, like I said, they can't understand the kingdom of God, amen, and the will of God, God's will, God's word or way, and then of course his work. What is the true work of God? So, and they can't understand or comprehend the voice of God without the Spirit of God. So, the first thing is first is that, as Jesus said, change your lives, God's kingdom is here, right? I think that's Matthew 4:20. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, is how it says it in the King James. And there has to be a turning away, right? That's what the church, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, right? The two K's mean called. Called out of the world. Called out of its philosophies, its views, its opinions, and so on. And called unto God. Amen? So, like I said, you know, the whole world is lying in wickedness, right? Well, if you don't have the Word of God as your foundation, Jesus Christ is the Word, amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you don't have Christ as your foundation, then everything is questioned, right? It's not authentic. It didn't get originated from God. It got originated from you or mankind on its own influences from the world, from religion, from the demonic realm, and so on, all right? And origin is so important, right? So, then 1 Corinthians 2:11 through 14, he says here that, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You can't know and understand and comprehend the things of God or the kingdom of God unless you receive them from the Spirit of God or from those that are, as the scripture says in John 3:34, right? He that is sent from God speaketh the rhemas of God. Amen. And so, are we able to distinguish the voice of God versus the voice of a stranger? Right? And then it says, we have received not the spirit of the world. That's 1 Corinthians 2:12. I'm going to go to that because I want to see what that definite, I mean, is that the word cosmos? 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the spirit of the world. The word world there is the word cosmos. We have received that spirit of the world, right? But on the flip side, those that are of the world, well, of course, they're going to go after, you know, this orderly arranged system that's devised by the devil, demonic realm, inspired by demons, all right? And so, we have not received, we have received not the spirit of the cosmos. We haven't received that demonic spirit, but we, but the spirit which is of God. We have received the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. That's verse 13. Not in the logos which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Amen. When I'm involved in my meditation of God's word, I'm always comparing the word with the word, right? And it's I like when I find a verse or I've lighted on a scripture and it ties into other verses that God has brought me, and then I'll start making my own Thompson chain, if you will. I'll put my own notes in there that are related to that particular verse and so on. So, but I'm always comparing the things that God has revealed to me with the other things that he's revealed to me. Of course, not to mention when we get in fellowship with the brothers and sisters, right? And comparing the things of God and so on. And then it says, but the natural man, all right? But the natural man, the psychikos man, this word natural is the word psychikos, which is from the word psyche, which means spirit, soul, and body, your soul. So the soulish man, all right, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You see, you've got to receive it by your spirit first order. Amen? And then it begins, as you meditate in that life of God, from that rhema that God has given you and so on, it begins to change your thinking, right? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, right? That's Romans 12:2. So he cannot receive the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You've got to have the Spirit of God to be able to understand and discern the things of God. The word discern here is the word anakrino, examine or judge, you see. To scrutinize or investigate. You can't spiritually scrutinize, spiritually investigate the things of God without the Spirit of God. The natural man can't do it, right? The whole world lieth in wickedness. They're being influenced from an outside demonic realm, right? The God of this world, right? The God of this age, amen, the God of this season and time that we're in. He's influencing all over the place. And right now the whole world is caught up in wickedness. Amen? They're so fearful of what's going on out there in the world. You know, the gas prices, inflation. And I mean, I'm being impacted by it too, but I realize that my provision comes from God. Amen? My source is God, not myself. Amen? I saw something the other day in Deuteronomy 30. Let me see if I can locate it real quick. So beautiful, you know. Like I say, humanity is caught up in a whole world of wickedness, right? And of course, they're concerned about, you know, where they're going to live, what are they going to eat, you know, their health care and all this stuff. And all right, here it is, 30 verse 20. I kind of stumbled on this, right? Well, there was a conversation that was going on at work, and a gentleman said, you know, I wish I could add more years to my to my life. And I thought about Hezekiah, right? How the scripture says, set thine house in order that thou mayest live. He set his house in order according to God's word, and guess what? He was given 15 more years. That's amazing. But here, in Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, he says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. You see that? He is your life and the length of your days, glory to God. You want to have longer life, amen? Get involved in the kingdom of God, amen? Get involved with the origin of life, amen, which is our Heavenly Father himself, amen? So, again, get involved with God, amen? Get involved with the Word of God. You want to experience life, no matter what's going on in your body, right? We're talking about faith toward God, amen? My faith is towards God's Word, amen? For the law, verse Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, all right, has given me, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen? I'm free from the law of sin and death. As a matter of fact, that scripture that says that you would bless my bread and my water and you take away sickness far away from me, right? The word take away is the word turn off. Amen? Turn off sickness far away from me, from this fall, from the curse of the fall, right? We've been redeemed from the curse of the law, right, and the fall, right? It was the curse of the law of Moses and the consequences that came with that, and then the curse of the fall when Adam fell, all right? Something happened at that point. All of a sudden, you know, Adam lived 900-something years old. Well, who on earth lives that long today? That life of God, that Zoe of God, sustained his life for so long, even after they fell. So I'm saying turn off sickness, amen. Turn off disease from my body, from my household, right? So, again, you know, we're not going to understand the things of God without the Spirit of God. We've got to seek God, amen. We've got to follow after the Lord if we want to be found of God. That's 2 Chronicles 15:2, I think. And, but, like I said, you know, God has given us an opportunity, and he's bringing understanding to us, amen. And so, you know, today we're going to talk about order, right? And what you know, like I said, when our lives are out of order, right, and we're involved in sin and perversion and stuff, all that is an open door to the devil. He comes in and he spreads his lies and his filth and his confusion in our lives, and we don't even know what happened. Where did I get that thought from? You know, why am I thinking that? And so on. So, so today, you know, in our outline, we're going to be talking about helps and governments. Amen. And how is it in heaven, right? Is there chaos and confusion in heaven, right? When the enemy said in Isaiah 14, is it Isaiah? Yeah, Isaiah 14. Let me go to that. Isaiah chapter 14. We call it the five I wills, right? All right. Now, Isaiah 14, starting in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, right? Lucifer here was his name. He was one of the archangels. Lucifer means the light bearer, all right? So he was called the morning star, right? He was brilliant in his radiance. But the conflict and the problem is that he didn't know his radiance and his glory came from God. So he thought it was himself. So it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And when the enemy fell, where did he go, right? He went down. I beheld Satan fall like lightning. You see, he came down. He went down from his heavenly realm to this earthly realm. This is where the scripture says he roams to and fro, right, seeking whom he may devour as a lion, right? So thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I'm gonna ascend. It says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I'm going to be the top dog. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. All right? So in this exaltation of himself going up, right, and that's what happens. That's why pride is so dangerous, because it's you inflating yourself. You think you can be the boss. You can be the team lead. You can be the one that's the number one, right? And, of course, what humanity fails to understand is that as you get promoted in life, you're involved now in more responsibilities, all right? But anyway, so like I said, the enemy, he got thrown down, and he said that I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to set my congregation sides of the north. And so in heaven, right, as soon as iniquity was found, the scripture says he went down. He was cast down. So I'm saying all that to state that how is it in heaven? Well, there's order in heaven, right? God has an order, right? And, you know, as we understand, the order of God in the local fellowships was always elder rule, right? You got the 24 elders that are in heaven, not the 24 pastors, the appointments. So, again, in Matthew 6:10, it says that, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And the higher place, in other words, in earth, me as a person, first order, the lordship of Christ, the government of God must be established in my heart and in my life first. And then in my domestic realm, and then in the local house, the body of Christ, right? So let's go to Romans chapter 13, verse 1, all right? And this is where now we're going to be talking about the origin of authority. Where did all this order come from, right? It certainly didn't come from Satan, right? In the demonic realm. So it says here, Romans 13, verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God." Ordained of God, right? And so then it says here, verse 2, "Whosoever therefore resists the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." All right? So the scripture says, let every soul. So what has to be submitted to authority? Well, before I answer that question, every time you see the word powers in verse 1 and 2, it's the word exousia, which means authority. Let every soul be subject unto the higher authority, for there is no authority but of God, and the authority that is or that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the authority, all right, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. The word resist there in verse 2 is the word antihistamine, stand against, stand or oppose against. And so what do we see going on all over the earth today, right? Not to mention in our homes and our businesses and so on. Everybody's always trying to cross and get on the other side. Get off. In other words, I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm not going to submit to that law or that rule, for example. And and this is all a problem with rebellion, right? And this is what the enemy's after, right? Rebel, 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 rebel. And feed that rebellion, right? Inspire that rebellion. Keep it going, keep it going. Keep the uproar of the people in confusion so they don't know so they don't get a clue of what is really going on. And, of course, all this is inspired by demon spirits. We know that the whole world lies together in wickedness, all right? So authority here, as we understand in these particular verses, Romans 13, 1 and 2, is ordained of God. God set it up, amen? And this word ordained, it's the Greek word tasso. Tasso, and we're going to get an understanding of tasso here and introduce it to you, is that it's a word that means to arrange in an orderly manner, all right? Assign or dispose to a certain position or lot, right? So when you get promoted and you get acknowledged or you get a new job and so on, you're put in a place or a position, right? But while you're in that place, you have to learn the order of that position or that promotion, right? So it says you have to understand the arrangement, all right, and what its manner is, what its order is, right? So it says here, all right, whosoever resisteth the power, all right? Like I said, now this word resist the power is it resist the authority, all right? This word resisteth is the word anti-tasomaiae. In other words, it's the word anti-tasso, anti the orderly arrangement, all right? Anti, which means to oppose yourself against, to oppose or stand against, all right? So whoso therefore resisteth the power, the word resist is the word, like I said, anti-tasomaiae. It comes from two words, anti, which is stand, oppose, against, and then the other word, which means the arrangement of God, the orderly arrangement, all right? So whoever therefore resists the authority, resist the ordinance. You see, you don't realize that what we don't realize is that when we cross the line and the boundary of authority and what has been prescribed to us in that ordinance, and the word ordinance here is the, a disposition, an arrangement, or an ordinance, or an institution. So if we, in other words, break the rules, we don't realize that we're also resisting authority. All right? And who was the first one that did that? Well, his name was Satan, Lucifer. Satan's not even a name. It's just what he is now. He's the accuser of the brethren. So he therefore resists. Amen. He's anti-tassel. And like I said, we're in the outline right now. Let me go ahead and post this. I guess that would help somebody, some people. Amen. Let me post this outline for you guys. Praise God. So whosoever therefore resisteth the authority, resist the ordinance of God. So resist the ordinance, like I said, resist is the word antihistamine, to stand or oppose or withstand or against. So you're standing against the ordinance of God. You don't realize that every time you cross authority, which all authorities of God, you're standing against the very principle of the origin of authority, which is God. And the word ordinance here is arrangement, an institution, something that's already been set up. All right. I mean, I remember, I've shared this story a couple of times, but I was in the Walmart and I was going to return or exchange something. And there was a young man there and the phone was playing music, but it wasn't in a headphone, right? It was just playing out. And I just asked him, you know, hey, can you turn it down? And he says, well, this is my music, right? Well, I wasn't questioning whose music it was. And then I said, well, you're in a public space, sir. You can do whatever you want to do at home, but when you're in a public space, you have to abide by the ordinance here. Amen. And there was a lot of people in that line, you know, so it's already exhausting, you know, when you're trying to return something. You know, it's sometimes there can be a lot of people in that line. It takes forever, right? Well, anyway, the point is he turned around and he came under authority. Not my authority, right? All I did was point out to him that there's a way that we do things here in Walmart. And all of us have to abide by these rules. If we don't, guess what? There's going to be utter chaos and confusion, which is what the enemy wants, right? He's the author of confusion, as we know in James. So, again, the orderly arrangement, all right? So, everybody that resists the authority resists the ordinance, all right, and of God. And they that resist antihistamine shall receive to themselves damnation. In other words, there's going to be a consequence, all right, for that situation of resisting authority and therefore resisting the ordinance, you see. So why is divine order and divine authority so important? Well, when our lives are out of order, there will be a numerous conflicts and problems in our lives. You see, because the enemy is able to go in and out anytime he wants into the house of that sheepfold, right? The scripture says in John 10:1, let me go to that one real quick. John 10:1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. You see, mankind in the spirit of rebellion that they're in, as the scripture says, the whole world lied together in wickedness. Well, that wickedness is going to inspire rebellion. And mankind in his rebellion is always trying to find another way. They don't want to go through the door. They don't want to go through the right path and do it the right way of God or the ordinance of wherever you're at, whether you're in a library, whether you're at the Walmart, whether you're at, you know, at the grocery store, for example. Any of these places and all these other places have a certain order and a certain structure, right? And there's things that you just don't do. You don't take what you want to take, for example, from the stores. That's called being a thief, all right? So, like I said, when our lives are out of order, there will be numerous conflicts and problems. If there was not order, there would be conflicts and problems. Well, it's the same thing in our lives as an individual, in our lives in the domestic realm as a husband and father. A husband and his wife, all right? And then, of course, in the local fellowship, the body of Christ. And why God set the government up of God, theocracy, to keep the devil out. There used to be a song that I used to sing a lot. It says, shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Amen. You light the candle, the spirit of God, right? The spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Amen. God's spirit, amen, giving us the grace of God, the understanding of God, the wisdom of God to withstand in that darkness, in that hour of darkness. So, again, conflicts and problems, all right, in our lives because our lives are out of order. And we need to understand that the house of God is on three levels. The house, me as an individual, all right, in my relationship to my wife, as a married man to my wife, and then in the body of Christ, the assembly. All right. So, again, we know the consequence of not having order. All right. So, I remember one time I was doing some substitute teaching. And I think it was first or second graders. And I asked them a question. I said, do you guys like authority? All right. So I asked them to raise their hands. And I think I said, who does not like rules? And about 98% of them raised their hands. And then I said, who does like rules? But two people out of that little classroom. And I just shared with them a simple principle here, is that if we don't have rules, we have problems. We have confusion, right? What if we didn't have boundaries of speed limits, right? In a residential, it's 30 or 35 miles an hour, right? And in some places, I go even slower depending on how many cars are lined up on the streets. And because there could be a possibility when somebody runs out chasing a ball or something, a young child or whatever, and they can get hit, right, or hurt, or, you know. So, anyway, I just gave them that little scenario, and then I asked them again, who likes rules? Well, then, when they understand what the rules and the boundaries are about, more of the individuals raise their hands. But isn't it interesting, even at a young age, right, they're already thinking about opposing and resisting authority by not performing the ordinance or the rule. All right, so the lack of order means abundance of confusion, right? And in the confusion, we have, as the scripture says in James chapter 3, verse 15. Let's go to that one in the Amplified. James 3, 15. All right? Praise God. We're going to get into, again, like I said, the word here. And we'll tie this all up with the helps in the government. So it says here that if you have, verse 14, James chapter 3, verse 14, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not in lying, not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So we see and we understand that everywhere there's confusion, there's demonic activity going on, right? And that's just the order of how things are during in the process or in the season of rebellion or the time that people are being rebellious, right? And more so and more so and more so, people are standing against, you know, different causes out there. And the other sad part about it is in their cause, they don't want to be united, obviously, because you're not of my cause, right? Well, so they want to be, they have a culture, a certain mindset that they've adopted as an individual that's standing and opposing against, as individuals that are opposed against whatever the thing is, you know, abortion or gas prices or whatever. And then the other side of that is, if I think differently than that, then I have a problem with you because I can't accept you into my culture. And that's the problem with all the other cultures that are out there, right? It's not kingdom of God culture. Now, I'm going to read here in the Message translation, 2 Corinthians 10. I read this last week again, but I think it's verse 4. Let me see here. Hold on. The tools of our trade, verse 4, aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. Not to mention, and so, you know, the cultures of all these religious issues that we're having, religious problems, religious lack of order of God, right? The wrong foundation, in other words, Babylonian. So, again, the lack of order means the abundance of confusion, right? So, confusion is wisdom that doesn't come from God. Bitter envy and strife, lying against the truth, You know how many situations are out there, and things are getting exposed. People are getting exposed, right? And for all the falsehoods that they're involved in, you know, hundreds and millions of dollars, right, of things happening in on the background, and nobody knows about it. It's all going under the table. Lying against the truth, right? Just opposed against God in every facet of their lives, because the number one strength of the soul is self-preservation. The soul is going to preserve himself. He's going to protect himself all the time. That's why if you seek to save your suke, if you seek to preserve your own life, Jesus said, your soul, you're going to lose it. But if you seek to lose your suke for my sake, you'll find it. Amen? Because now our representative is Jesus Christ. Amen? And the blood that he shed for us on the cross, amen, and the Holy Ghost coming to the earth for it is always going to be the one that's going to stand up for us. Amen? We don't need to stand up for ourselves. We need the kingdom of God. We need the first order, first things. For seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the right way of God. All right? So, lying against the truth, earthly, sensual. The word sensual here is the word sukiko, soulish, from the root word suke, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, the soul of a man, and devilish, demonic. Envying and strife foster confusion and every evil work. The word confusion here is instability and disorder. When things are confused, all right, when people are confused, there's no stability there. You see, as the scripture says, I remember there was an individual, and he wanted to rewrite the Bible, and he wanted to figure out a way to add adultery as something that's okay. That's instability, right? Unstable as water, man. Water just flows wherever. You can't count on if it's not going to bore out another section in the dirt, and then all of a sudden now its path is wider or whatever. In other words, it's unstable. Unstable. And then the word disorder, of course. Commotion, confusion, tumult. And so the results of when we are in order in our lives, as we now look at James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is of God, all right, is that is from above, or God, in other words, is first pure, amen, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace, right? So the results of order in our lives is, first of all, you're able to hear and get wisdom from God in your spirit, amen, amen. And it's the order of first thing. Wisdom from above is first. Amen. We've got to tap into our spirit, man, in a relationship with the Father. Amen. As the sons of God and daughters of God. And understand that this voice of God, as I read earlier in Deuteronomy. Let me get back to that one real quick. He says, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice. Obey that wisdom of God. In other words, as it says in the preceding verse, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So I'm already giving you the answer to the test. And I'm telling you, said the Lord, that choose life, choose my life, choose my ways. All right? The will, the word, the way, the work. Do it my way. So it says it's first pure, innocent, all right, modest, pure, and clean. I remember one of my nieces was here at the house, and, you know, she's a young lady, and she's growing, you know, she's filling out as a young girl, young lady, and she had a gap between her waist and her, in other words, you can see this large section of her belly, right? In other words, and I'd tell her, Hannah, what are you doing, you know? And, oh, excuse me, I didn't say a name there. But the point is that modest, right? Not immodest. And then peaceable, right? And so we know from Isaiah 9:6-9:7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. When the government of God is in your life, the lordship of God is in your life, in your heart, you obey his word. If his word says it, you believe it, amen. You meditate, you study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, amen. All right? Because you're hearing from God, amen. He that is sent from God hears the rhemas of God. You're hearing those rhemas, amen. and you're able to bring them forth with skill and precision. All right. So peaceable, right? So in the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our hearts, He's the Savior and Lord, not just your Savior, but He's also your Lord. It means He's your Master. In other words, the Word is the Master. He is the Word. So because of that, the peace of God that passes all understanding, right? And as it says here, as I read, in James, it says, and he that, how does it go? I'm sorry. John. James chapter 3. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not it. Confusion and every evil word. James 3, 17. James 1. Oh, okay. James chapter 3, I'm sorry. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. You see, the Lordship of Christ brings the peace of God in your lives. You're able to come in and go out into the world, amen. We're blessed going into the world, blessed coming out of the world, amen. Our sons and daughters are safe, right? They're not going to get shot by a stray bullet, if you will, as a lot of individuals are in this season and time that we're in. And so anyway, there's peace, amen, because, again, because you're under the Lordship of Christ, all right, the peace of God rules in your hearts and minds through our Christ Jesus our Lord, and therefore you're able to sow righteousness towards people in their lives. You're able to bring forth the Word of God in their lives, the rhemas of God, and speak to them because you're as one as sent from God. You're speaking the words of God, the rhemas of God, amen, and therefore, you know, and this is all the result of your life in order, amen. Gentle or appropriate, amen. Is then peaceable, gentle. Gentle here is appropriate. In other words, easy to be entreated. The way you bring forth the word, amen. It's easy to swallow, if you will. Take in. Easy to be entreated. It's easy to persuade someone, amen. Good for persuasion. Full of mercy, compassion. And full of agape, good fruit, the just shall live by faith toward God, amen. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. You're constantly moving in faith toward God, and you're bringing forth the fruit of righteousness, you see, everywhere you go. Without partiality, actively impartial. In other words, you treat everybody the same. There is no, impartiality. Amen. And then it says, without hypocrisy. Amen. In other words, pure. I mean, you're not being fake, if you will, about it. Amen. Your heart and your desire towards God is to be pure. Amen. Now, I want to look at James 3:18 in the Amplified. In the Amplified version. He says, and the harvest of righteousness of conformity to God's will in thought and deed is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others, that peace which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals with undisturbedness in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Man, that's so powerful. And of course, you know, again, the results of our lives being in order is that we submit, therefore, to God. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 7. Spend a lot of time in James today, huh? James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when our lives are not submitted, therefore, to God and out of order to the Word of God, no amount of resistance is going to push back the demonic realm from your life and from your family and so on and from those you pray for. And this word, submit yourselves, is the word hupotasso. And it means to range under, to subordinate. All right? Now, subordinate, let's look at the definition for that. It means, hold on. when you subordinate yourself, you're coming under, all right? You're coming under the authority, the arranged order, the tasso, as I read earlier. To subject or to put in subjection, to subject oneself to obey, all right? And that's all the word for like I said, submit yourselves, hupotasso, amen? So, again, that word is very important, amen, because ultimately that's the issues that are obedience to God's word, amen? And we must learn and understand that this order of God and the maintaining of order in our lives, you know, keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. If we don't keep our hearts, the enemy is going to come into our lives, whether it's you as an individual in the domestic realm with your wife or your husband, and then in the local body of Christ, and in your cities, your businesses, and so on. All right? So, now, order of authority. And this one, 953, I don't know if that's necessary. I'm just going to read, we're going to read this whole passage in 1 Corinthians 1. I should have put 11, 1 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. All right. And this is Apostle Paul here. He says here, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. Remember the word ordinance here. Is the word, this particular word ordinance means is the transmission of what's been given. So it says, keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you, all right? But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The authority, the covering of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. All right? Every man, so let's start now with the man. Every man praying or prophesying with his head covered dishonors his head, all right? But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, all right, uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven or her hair cut off completely. But if a woman be not covered, in other words, not under authority, then let her also be shorn or her hair cut off. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her also be covered, right? All right? All right, let her also be, so let her be covered. Now, verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head. For as much as he is the image of glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And guess what? That word power is the Greek word, it's exousia, which means authority. So keep the ordinance. What I've transmitted to you, verse 2 there, and what I've given to you. So he says in verse 3, the head of every man is Christ. Verse 3 again, he says the head of the woman is the man. And then in verse 3 also, he says the head of Christ is God. All right? Now, having his head covered. So verse 4, it says, every man that prays or prophesies with his head covered. In other words, there should be no authority over your life as a man before the Lord Jesus. And every time we submit to a man before Christ, we're dishonoring our head. It's out of order, in other words. And so a lot of young brothers and sisters, they do this. Or, you know, not even young, just brothers and sisters, period. And they think they got to be submitted to, you know, some type of bishop, if you will, and they're sending all their tithes. And that's out of order, man, because you're doing something that's not according to God's word. God didn't set that structure up. Man did. And of course, self-preservation, right? That's the thing that that's motivating man all the time. Thinking about himself first. You see? So there's a problem with this, right? There's a whole lot of men that have another authority other than Christ in their lives that are covering them. All right? And this needs to be brought back in order. As the scripture says, as the prophet came to Hezekiah, set your house in order. In order to God's will in order to God's way. I'm sorry, word in order to God's way and in order to God's work. You want to do it the way of God, or you want to do it the way of man or the way of the Babylonian system? As the scripture says, the whole world lies together in wickedness. Well, I don't, amen. And I don't. My message is the kingdom of God, amen. This is what I preach. This is what I teach. I talk about order. I talk about order to God's word, amen. And I see it everywhere, right? Men compromise their integrity and to the word of God and their sonship because they're afraid. They're full of fear of what man's going to do to them. So he says here, having his head covered. So the head of a man is Jesus Christ, not another authority that is not Jesus. And when we're doing that, we're dishonoring our head. In other words, dishonor means to shame down, disgraceful or put to the blush. Man. No. But every woman, all right, verse 5, that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. So what does that mean, Joseph, Brother Joseph? What does that mean? Well, every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered. So who did Paul tell us, according to the word, that's the head of the woman? The head of the woman is the man. All right? So when she prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, she's dishonoring her husband. You know, like, let's say somebody does something. And let's say in your workplace, right? You got you're a supervisor, or you're a manager, right? And one of your subordinates, individuals that should be submitted to you in authority, right? As long as you're submitted to the ordinance of that institution, right? Does something that is out from under his authority. In other words, let's say he gave you a directly delegated something to you, and you completely misrepresent what he asked or she asked you to do. You see, that is bringing shame to your authority. And that's so Paul talks about here about the wife when she comes out from under authority. Well, and that's all it's saying is that every time we step out from under authority, we're dishonoring our head, right? And so now, so he said here, that verse 5, she might as well cut all her hair off, because what you're saying here is you don't want to be submitted to authority. And again, why do we have authority? What is the purpose of the authority, right? What is the purpose of maintaining order? The purpose is that it keeps the enemy out, right? Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. It keeps the enemy out of our lives because of order. Amen. Now, I realize there's abuses. Amen. There's men that are macho and that are controlling. And, of course, there's women that are ERA, right? They've got this thing in their head that they're equal to the male. Well, how can that be true, right? If you look at a male and you look at a woman naked, you see, they're completely different. They think different. The way they react, the male reacts differently. A whole lot of conflicts there, right? So, again, who is the head of the man? Christ. Who is the head of the woman? The man. Who is the head of Christ? God. What if Jesus Christ did something outside of the order of God's word? Would he dishonor his head, which is the Father? Of course. You see? And it's not, like I said, it's not because one is better than the other. It's because of origin. How did it start? Right? All right? If we want to stay covered under authority, then we must not dishonor our head. You might as well cut your hair off. And how shameful is that when a woman has to lose her hair? When the scripture teaches us, if you read down past verse 10, this is the covering, as he says here in, let's see here. Verse 14, it says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame to him? There's been times when individuals that I know have long hair, and I thought it was a woman. That's a disgrace to me. But if a woman have long hair, verse 15, it is a glory to her. for her hair is given her for a covering. In other words, it's a witness or a testimony to her relationship to her husband. And you see what, you know, women, they're always taking care of their hair. They want to look pretty, you see, glorious, if you will. But again, the glory comes from the male, her relationship to her husband. That's when there's true honor and true glory of God. In that, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, but this is a great mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Yeah, we're mentioning husband and wife, but we're really talking about Jesus Christ as the husband and the bride, you see, which is the body of Christ. Order, order, order of God, amen. The house on three levels. All right, so it's 10:02. We'll pick it up next time. And understanding that order is so very important, amen, because, again, if we maintain order, then we're able to keep the darkness out or the devil out of our lives, amen. Father, I thank you for your precious word today, Lord God. I thank you for your faithfulness, oh God, and how that you're teaching us and you're bringing us understanding according to your word, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are very intent, Father God, that your people understand your ways, your will, your word, your way, and your work, Father, so that there may be order, Father, and we understand why it's so important to have divine order and divine authority in our lives, amen, to keep the darkness out of our lives, to keep the wicked one from touching us with sickness or disease or poverty. As it is written in your word in the book of Psalms, Father God, it says that, because I have made you the Lord God, the Most High, my habitation, even my dwelling place forevermore, there shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For you shall give your angels charge over us, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that because we seek your order and your righteousness, Father God, that angels of God encamp around about those that fear him. They keep us protected, amen, from the evil one and his perversion. And I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name for this precious opportunity, Lord. I bless those, Father God, who are partaking and will partake, Father. And we give you praise and honor, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Make a joyful noise, all the earth. Make his praises glorious. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. For his name is victorious. By thy great power, thy force shall submit to thee. Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises.